So this morning, we're going to be starting a new sermon series called Preparing for Easter. Now, I don't know about you, but for me and I'm sure for a lot of people, it's been really hard to focus on Easter this Lent. After all, we are in the church calendar where we are supposed to be taking time to focus on Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. And I got to tell you that even as a church worker who's supposed to be focused on this kind of stuff, I have to tell you, it's been very difficult to focus on anything but what is happening in our world regarding the coronavirus and COVID-19. You know, I got to tell you that the cross and the empty tomb have not been on my mind as much as things like, for example, my grandma, who is in Oklahoma, and she's at an assisted care facility. And in this one unit that she's in, there are 7 confirmed cases of COVID-19. And this week, 2 have passed from it. And to think that all that my grandma has been through, she's survived the Great Depression, she's survived world wars, and then to get to this point, you can imagine how much fear and anxiety this is causing both my family and I'm sure every family of the person who's in this assisted living facility. And so not only could it be something like that, but it could as well be something like the fear and anxiety that comes with being furloughed or hours reduced or laid off entirely. And we've seen that. There's been so many people who I've talked to just even this past week who have expressed concern over their financial situation. Certainly you can look into our 401ks in the stock market and what used to be so much security there, what used to be what people would really gravitate towards and say, this is what I have my future in. Instead, now they're all of a sudden looking at the stock market and they're saying to themselves, well, geez, is there going to be anything in there, especially those who are close to retirement? And as well, maybe you're at home and you're working and you're trying to think to yourself, okay, how can I possibly work from home, especially if you have young children? My favorite example was this one right here.
The question is, how do democracies respond to those scandals?
And what will it mean for the wider region? I think one of your children has just walked in. I mean, shifting sands in the region, do you think relations with the North may change?
I would be surprised if they do.
I've been working at home a lot, and having children around is definitely much different, especially as I'm preparing for things like this or I'm video editing. And I got to tell you, I have never been more grateful in my life for our school system here. I'm ready for the schools to open, baby. It's going to be a parade whenever we get to drop our kids off again. But all this to say this, that maybe these are the kinds of things that have been on your hearts and on your mind. Maybe they've been causing you to lose sleep. Maybe they've been pulling at you physically and emotionally and spiritually. And I got to tell you that if you're feeling any one of those things, then certainly you're not alone. I've experienced those things. So many people in our church, so many people in our community and our world have felt these things too. So much so that whenever we actually do look at Easter, one of the crazy things about Easter is that for the first time, at least in all of our lifetimes, we may not be able to come together as a church physically to worship Jesus on Easter. How crazy is that? Because the one thing that you think about Easter is you think about putting on your nice church shoes, and you think about coming to church, and we got the Easter breakfast, and we got the palms, and the white pyramids and everything, and we're celebrating together Easter. But you know what? This year, from what it looks like, we may not be able to do that. We may not be able to come together physically to worship. In fact, I've actually seen pictures on social media where my friends are posting saying, oh my gosh, can you believe it? Easter is canceled. And what, Easter is canceled? Are you serious? But that's the kinds of things that people are saying. My favorite example was this meme that I saw the other day, and it said, Happy Easter, Jesus. Sorry your party is so lame. Easter is certainly not canceled. Now, we may be at home. We may be social distancing. We may be even 6 feet apart from each other. But Easter is certainly not canceled. No, we are going to spend the next couple weeks here together as an online church, in your homes, in my homes, together online, digitally, electronically. We are going to prepare our hearts and we're going to prepare our minds for Easter. See, what I'm trying to do this morning is that while we're stressed out about all the things going on with the coronavirus and what that means for our lives, instead, what I'm hoping to do is I'm hoping to recenter you, and I'm hoping to redirect us all to focusing on Jesus on the cross and focusing on Jesus raising from the empty tomb. And so let us now set our hearts and our minds on these things as we prepare for Easter. Because let me tell you one thing, is that whoever posted that on Facebook about Easter being canceled couldn't be further from the truth. Not only is Easter not canceled, well, because it can't be. It already happened and we're just celebrating it. But more importantly than that, I believe that this Easter is going to be one of the more unforgettable, one of the more meaningful Easters that you and I are ever going to experience in our lifetime. And here's what I mean. See, if you think back to all of your Easters, a lot of times it's like it comes right after the heels of spring break and we're preparing for summer and summer camps and all those things. And oh yeah, we're also supposed to do Easter. But let me tell you this, that this year is a year where many of us are forced to take a pause. I mean, literally, many of us cannot leave our homes, and if we can, then we're only supposed to go to essential businesses, whatever is deemed to be essential. And I got to tell you that we're forced to take a pause. And as well, we're forced now to relook at many things going on in our lives. I just shared a few examples. People that we've known who are struggling with their health, with their finances, with their security, with their families. And I got to tell you that all of these things can bring sorrow. All of these things can be very difficult in our lives. All of these things could actually weigh on us. And what happens is that whenever we start talking about Holy Week, we talk about Good Friday. About, now we call it Good Friday. It's not Bad Friday. It's Good Friday because Jesus did one of the most significant things in all of history. He died on the cross for our sins. And he suffered, and he experienced sorrow, and so did his disciples. His disciples were all in hiding and denying Jesus, and they were sorrowful for what was happening, watching Jesus suffer and bleed like that. But 3 days later, just a short time later, not only do we have the suffering that happens, but we also have the resurrection. What was death, 3 days later becomes life. What was sorrow becomes joy. What was hopeless becomes hopeful again. And so I got to tell you, friends, Easter is not canceled. It's going to look a lot different. We're going to be socially distant, probably. I doubt we're able to come back together in this physical space by then. But friends, Easter is not canceled. Instead, Easter is going to be one of the more meaningful Easters that we've ever experienced. Because in this time of suffering, in this time of sorrow, in this time of hopelessness, we get to talk about hope. We get to talk about the empty tomb. We get to talk about death coming to life. And so I want to give you three things this morning, three promises that Jesus gives his disciples in Scripture. See, we're focusing on a few chapters in the book of John here this morning, John 13 through 16. And in these few chapters, what happens is Jesus is prepping his disciples, preparing his disciples for what's about to happen. And so he gives his disciples some promises to cling to while the events of Holy Week happen. And here's the amazing thing. Not only are these promises given to the disciples 2,000 years ago, they were, but also they are given to us 2,000 years later today. And so in the midst of suffering, in the midst of feeling despair, we get to hear these promises that Jesus has given for us, and we get to cling to them. So the first promise that Jesus gives his disciples and us is the promise of a future. See, what he is telling them is that he's telling them that he's actually going to leave them. But don't worry, one day he's going to come back, and one day together, we're all going to share this future together in heaven. Friends, this is the promise of hope. This is the promise of heaven. Not only do we get to experience heaven together, but we get to experience it with Jesus. And that's what he's promising his disciples. That's what he's promising us. In fact, we have this verse here from John chapter 14. It says, "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be." So friends, the point of all this is to say that heaven is the goal. You know, sometimes we forget that everything that around here on this earth, it is just temporary. It is just for a short amount of time. Instead, what we need to set our eyes on is to set our eyes on heaven. And that should be encouraging, because there's going to be times when your life is really difficult on this earth. But we have to remember that it's temporary. It's only for a short amount of time. You got to hear how 1 Peter describes this. See, 1 Peter describes this. He says that it is an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Look at these words here: imperishable, undefilable, unfading. So our trust should not be in the things of this world. And I know it's so easy to take security in our retirement. It's so easy to take security in our family structure. It's so easy to take security in our job and all of these things of the world. But what Jesus is saying here is that our priority, our goal, is to set our eyes to heaven, because that's going to be for all of eternity. So not only does Jesus say to his disciples, not only does he give them the promise that one day they get to share a future together in heaven, but also he's going to give this other promise. And it's that God has promised you a helper. Promised you a helper. You see, Jesus is coming back, but in the meantime, he is going to give us a friend. He's going to give us a helper. And this helper is the Holy Spirit. It is God's Spirit. In fact, one of the things we find in John 14, it says this, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." And look at that word, another. Circle that word, another helper here, being the Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the Holy Spirit here. Now we have this concept called the Trinity, where we have God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's one God with three persons. And the Holy Spirit is the activity of God in our world today. In fact, what we just saw in this verse here is that the Holy Spirit promises to never leave us and also promises to be in us. In fact, it is the Holy Spirit who even gives us the ability to proclaim that Jesus is Lord. And so apart from the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing. You can do nothing good. Our ways are only evil and evil all the time. But it's the Holy Spirit living inside of us that actually enables us and gives us the ability to not only proclaim that Jesus is Lord, but then also to sustain us in our faith. See, you're not strong enough on your own. Neither am I. And that's okay, because we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. What Jesus is saying here is that yes, we are going to have a future, but in the meantime, he is giving us the Holy Spirit to sustain us, to give us faith, and to encourage us and to equip us as believers. And what does this look like? Well, Romans 8 says this. He says, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong in him." So in other words, what the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit living inside of us gives us the ability to do great things. In fact, the way that we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, meaning that the Spirit living inside of us, the evidence of that is the fruit of the Spirit. We talk about things like love, patience, peace, kindness, self-control, goodness, right? All of those things are evidence of the Spirit living and working inside of us. And there's two things that I want to focus on today as well that are results of the Spirit living inside of us. One is that our helper will bring God's peace to us. And I can tell you, in a time of crisis like today, but really any time, how amazing it is to have this peace that God gives us. In John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." So God is giving us his peace. There's been so many times where I felt this anxiety and I felt this stress kind of build up. And then it's amazing whenever I go to God and I just say a prayer and I just say, "God, clearly I'm unable to control this. I'm giving this to you. Give me your peace." And it's amazing at how right then and there you can just feel the weight lifted off of you, isn't it? And so also, we have, not only do we have God's peace, but our helper, the Holy Spirit, also gives us God's joy. God's joy. John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken to you, that joy may be in you, and that joy may be full." One of my favorite stories in the New Testament is from Acts 16, where Paul and Silas are being captured and they're jailed for their faith after doing a miracle. And what happens is Paul and Silas are not only in a dungeon Roman jail, but they're also put in stocks and their bodies are twisted and tormented. The point is not only to secure them so that they can't escape, but it's also to torture them, to inflict physical pain onto them. And yet, even whenever they are in excruciating pain, Paul and Silas bust out in song. That's right, they actually sing hymns of praise to God. Now that must have blown everyone away to look at someone who is suffering and still to sing praises to God. And it says that they were filled with joy. You see, one of the great things about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit can actually come into our lives, and despite the circumstances, despite everything that is going on around us, even if it's something that's really, really, really horrendous, the Holy Spirit, our helper, our friend, is actually able to pour into us and is actually able to fill us with joy. So, not only does God say that we have a future with him, and not only in the meantime do we get the Holy Spirit, but also he's going to give us this third promise right here. And it's this promise of a family, a church family. See, the disciples experienced a lot of persecution. I mean, they suffered, they bled, they even died for their faith. And so you got to imagine that they needed support, they needed encouragement from people around them, to come around them, to give them that encouragement, to sustain them in the faith and to not give up. You know, if you think of it this way, it's like, would you like to go into battle alone or would you like to go in battle with an army? And it's amazing at how many people are out there who would say, "Well, I think I can just do faith all on my own." But no, see, we need that encouragement. We need that support. We need that Christian community. We need that church family to be there for us. So John 15:12 says this, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." So in other words, the Christian community, our church family here, should be a place where we share love, where we experience love from one another. You know, this is kind of a funny time right now where we can still meet together online. I mean, I got to tell you, I am so grateful that we're able to do the services the way that we're doing it. We're able to share them with our friends on Facebook so that way they, especially in this time, can experience the hope of Jesus in their lives. But I got to tell you something as well. that even being in the sanctuary completely alone is much different than whenever everyone's here together. And I got to tell you something. I miss you guys. I really do. I mean, it sometimes is lonely. And you got to be feeling that loneliness too, just being locked up and quarantined in our home. You see, God has made us for relationships, to be relational people. Even if you're an introvert, God has made you to be a relational person, to pull at strength and relationships from other people. And so really, that's the point of the church family here, is this support, this encouragement, coming together for that boost in our faith. I've also heard so many people say, and some people say this is a millennial thing or a young person thing, but I've heard it from all generations, to be honest, where people will say, well, you know, I don't really need to go to church. I mean, after all, I got a Bible. I can just read it from home. And hey, especially if we keep streaming our services, then hey, I can just stay at home. I don't need to be in church for that encouragement. And I got to tell you that you're absolutely missing out. And I know that I felt that just in the past 2 weeks, and I'm sure that you're feeling that at least on some level. And so really, it's like the reason why God has designed the church to be the body of Christ, where people come together in his house to worship him and to have that community and to have that encouragement and support, is because God knows what it's like to have everyone come together. God knows best. He's the one who designed it this way. And so really, it's amazing that we get to do this now for a season. But I got to tell you, I cannot wait till we get to come back physically together. I mean, I could just see someone doing flips down the aisle. It's going to be a celebration. It's going to be exciting. It really is. And that's what the church is. The church is the body of Christ coming together for that encouragement, for that support. And so ultimately, that's what Jesus is doing here. Jesus is giving us these promises during a difficult time. He's giving us the promise that one day we'll be with him in heaven. We'll have that future together. In the meantime, he's giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit, our helper, our friend. And then as well to give us a family, a body of believers that can support us and that can encourage us. But two, I want to leave you with this verse right here. This verse is from John 16. It says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. In other words, that if we place our trust in Jesus, that he has conquered. And that's exactly what he did on the cross. See, on the cross looked like defeat. Whenever Jesus was suffering and he bled and he died. But it was victory. It was. Jesus conquered sin, death, and the devil on that victorious cross. And then 3 days later, he even conquered death whenever he walked right out of that tomb, leaving it empty. See, this is the message of hope this morning. This is the message that God is giving us, is that God has the ability to take death and turn it into life, despair into joy, hopelessness into hopefulness, because of what Jesus has done for us and these promises that Jesus is giving us today. And so really, as we prepare our hearts for Easter, and I encourage that, yes, we're going to hear stories about the coronavirus. And yes, you should listen to some of them. Maybe not. Maybe turn the news off for an hour a day. Maybe unplug for a little bit. But we're going to be bombarded with all of these stories of fear, anxiety, despair, hopelessness. And in the midst of that, in the next 2 weeks, let us set our eyes towards Easter, because Easter's not canceled. No, it's not. And it's not going to be a lame party either, because it is the celebration of Jesus resurrecting himself to life. And that we, as a Christian community, get to celebrate that online, probably. But we get to celebrate that. And we get to look in our own lives. And we get to look at all the things going on around us and knowing that God's got this. And that even in the midst of tribulation, even in the midst of trials, that he has overcome the world. And so with that, would you join me in prayer? Dear Jesus, indeed, these are weird, but also very difficult times. We can look around at our world today and see people in despair, people suffering. And God, we pray for everyone around us. We pray for health. We pray for jobs. We pray for finances. We pray for families who are having a difficult time. Lord, we pray that you restore all these, because indeed you have said that we can take heart because you have overcome all of these things. You have overcome the world. And so, God, we pray that as we go into this next week, that we can take heart, we can take these promises that you gave your disciples 2,000 years ago and also gave us today. In all this we pray. Amen.